Good evening. Again, it is great to see all those that have come out to worship with us, and I want to thank the men of the congregation for giving me the opportunity again to present a sermon. I appreciate any time I'm able to come up here and to do this, and I hope that what I've prepared is pleasing for everyone who hears it. I want to first recall from Brother Ed's sermon, and I want to thank him for we had no planning on sermons, but somehow our sermons were close together. He spoke today about unity and being one, and I have a similar idea that follows somewhat parallel to that of being a role model. And in our lives, whether we want to or not, whether we choose to or not, and whether we know it or not, we're being a role model. If not every moment of our life, surely much of the day. Someone in some way, shape, or form, whether it be a peer the same age as us, or someone younger, or even perhaps someone older, depending on the situation that they're in, may be looking to us for a way to behave. I know where I work right now in a daycare. I see a lot of kids come in, and you know, they spend most of the day there. Spend at least 8 to 10 hours there, which is a lot of time. And in that time, you know, they look to us for behavior and whatnot to understand how to act in the world. And it's really cool when you walk in the morning and one of the kids walks up and goes, "Uncle Dan," and just gives you a big hug. You know, it's just a lot of fun. And of course, he doesn't understand what an uncle is, but it's a lot of fun to see someone look at you as almost a family member, you know. And he feels that close to me that he calls me Uncle Dan. And like I said, he doesn't understand what an uncle is, but he knows it's someone close to him, and he knows it's someone that he appreciates and he trusts. So it made me realize more and more that I'm a role model to people. Not necessarily in all arenas of life. I mean, I have my mistakes and my flaws, as everyone does. But our behavior influences someone. Whether we're trying to be a role model or not, it influences other people. And it's a big undertaking for people to become a role model and to take on that role seriously. You know, thinking about it, preparing for it, and becoming a role model for a child or for a group of peers at work. Whatever the case may be. And I think that the place that we should start to learn what is to be a role model is in the Scriptures. Because we have some of the greatest role models of all time pictured in the Scriptures. From the day that Jesus Christ gave the last commandment and said to the apostles, you know, "Go and preach the gospel unto every nation, and lo, I'm with you even until the end of the age." They went from being apprentices to instantly being a form, a role model for everyone from then until now who's become a Christian. That we all look to the Scriptures and to the apostles, and of course to Jesus Christ ultimately, which the apostles mimicked, to be what we should be for a Christian. I mean, the only place we take what we know and what we practice is from the Scriptures, which is written from the apostles. And they lived as a picture of a perfect being, of Jesus Christ. Now, the apostles themselves were not perfect, but they tried and they strived for perfection because they saw perfection. They were right there next to it. And they attempted to be a carbon copy of Christ, as we all should be, or try to be. So I want to begin with a thought, and I was thinking about what one trait would be the first one that we would need to become a role model. And the one that I chose was to be humble. I think that's where it all starts. Whether it's becoming a Christian or it's being a role model, we have to be humble. Because what did Jesus tell us? You know, he who exalts himself shall be humbled. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. So if we want to be a role model, if we want to be a person in a place of authority, then we have to humble ourselves and become a servant first. And that works in the business realm too. Some people go to school long enough and they get a management position as soon as they're out of school. And I've seen what happens when that happens. Some people under them just don't think they deserve it. And sometimes they stay and sometimes they end up proving themselves. And other times they don't. But the ones who are there for years and work and diligently work, which is the next point that I'm going to get there, are the ones that people usually look up to. And they're not always perfect either. But they're the ones that people look up to and say, you know, they deserve that position. I know from their years of experience and what I've seen them do, they deserve that position. And that's something that we should strive for also. As being Christians, we should also strive to be a good worker, a diligent and humble worker for the Lord. And I want to start with Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In Titus 2, starting in verse 7, Paul's talking to us about being a pattern of good works. And he gives us some, I'm going to call them clues, but that's not really clues. He gives us, because it's very out there in the scriptures, but he gives us ways to be good and diligent Christians and ultimately role models. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, showing sound of speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Now, the one thing that I want to focus on, since I'm talking about being humble, is reverence. Now, the word reverence means to be reverent, to be submissive, to be humble. And here, it is talking about being reverent to God and to Jesus Christ, and realizing that He is our Savior. And I know that Chaz understands this because he's in the military. So he will be. He knows that sorry to point you out there, but you're the only one here that I know that's currently or going to be in the military. And he knows that he has to be reverent to the drill sergeant and to the one and the people above him. So he understands that, you know, that's the way it is in the military. Or if he doesn't, he will understand that. I know others who I've just thought of who were in the military that I remember, and they know what it's like to be in the military. They know that it you have to be reverent, you have to be submissive to your superiors. And through that, you can be exalted through the ranks and such, and you become a corporal or I'm not sure exactly how it goes, but I know that staff sergeant and lance corporal, things like that are the upper levels. If you want to achieve those, you know, four-star general, which I know is the highest, if you want to achieve those, you have to be humble and you have to be a servant as well as a leader. And we also see that idea in 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 13. And it says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit." Now this, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing indeed, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and the ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? And he sums it up. He gives us other things here that are essential for being humble, being harmonious with the others around us. And that also goes with unity. In as much as they're in line with the scriptures, which, of course, if Peter's talking to them, the congregation at that time was, being sympathetic to one another in all things. And we know in other places it says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. Paul talks about that. And we know that that is essential for being humble. Humbling yourself to the point where if someone else who is mourning over someone that you may have never known, if you get down and mourn with them, get in the trenches, as so to speak, and you mourn with them and you listen to them and you comfort them, you can gain a very close friend and someone who may follow you and someone who you may become a role model to. And in the church, it's the same idea. For those of us who are in the church, if we sympathize with one another, if we're there, if we comfort and we're with one another, even though we may not have known the person who they're mourning over, or a situation that they mourn over, the job that they may have lost, we're there with them and we help them as best as possible, then we create a unity in and of the church that bonds us together and makes us one. And essentially we all become examples, and some others who are in places of, if we had elders or deacons, they would be the role models for the church. Now, the men and women of the church, respectively, are models for those who look up to them. And another passage that I think is good is 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Now, here Peter's talking to the young men and he's giving them advice and a commandment at the same time. But it's not something that's new. It's not a new commandment. It's just something that is reiterated in a different way that is in line with what Christ taught. And it says in verse 5, "You young men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So we see that if we are humble in the ways that we've heard here, in being reverent and being incorruptible, having sound speech, not being able to be condemned, I mean, subject to those above us, to the elders, or our elders in general, as far as our parents, as long as it's in line with the gospel, of course. And they don't ask us to do anything contrary to the law, which, we would hope they wouldn't, then we are to be submissive and humble to them. And we are to listen to what they tell us. Now, I know that's not easy, and nor do we always do it. I say we because I've done it. I do it also. But the more that we dwell in the scriptures and the more that we listen to God and try and pattern our life more after Jesus Christ, the more we'll be able to do these things and to be humble, because Christ should be our role model. He should be the ultimate role model. And I know people look up to others in the world, famous and so forth, but we have to watch that, because if their example doesn't fit in line with what Christ is, then we should not have them as a role model. And I've had to learn that lesson a few times myself when I was younger, and even now sometimes. The next thing I want to talk about that I think that is important, once we've humbled ourselves and we understand the importance of humility, is to be diligent. And if you look at some examples of what diligence can bring us and what diligence leads to, if you look in Proverbs 10 in verse 4, it says, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Now, the wealth here may mean of an earthly sort, but also of a spiritual sort, giving us a wealth of knowledge of God's Scripture through our diligence in His Word. And in Proverbs 21, in verse 5, it speaks of diligence in a more of a worldly sense, if you will. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as the haste leads to poverty. Now, we can look at this in a material sense and understand that the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, was a very wise man and a very rich man. He had much. And he's an example, not necessarily of every Christian and what we can have as far as worldly possessions, but he is an example to us of what can be done if we ask for wisdom, as he did. He asked God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom and wealth for a time. As we know, he went on and he did something he shouldn't have, went away and worshipped other gods and let people persuade him, and then towards the end of his life, he lost a lot of what he had. And he says in Ecclesiastes that all is vanity. You know, all the things that he had was striving after the wind, and it was worth nothing. And he says when the end of all things, fear God and keep His commandments. And that's his advice to the people and to his son. It's fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. That's what we need to do, and we need to be diligent in that. And by doing that and through that, we again can be good role models. And we have to learn from the mistakes of others, such as David and Solomon, the things that they did, and see how they suffered for a time and how we can if we are not continuously diligent. And Paul, in Romans, in 12, in verse 8, gives us another example of things that we need to do in order to be a role model, and how we are in what position, if we're in a position of leadership, to be diligent. Now, he says in verse 8, "If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain." And I want to start, and we see the diligence of, we see that he says, in leadership, let him govern diligently. So he's saying, hey, you have to be, in a leadership position, you have to be diligent. You have to be diligent in both the correction and encouragement, as he talks about earlier in verse 8. And he, in contributing whatever we can to those who need. We are to give generously. If we see a need for something, a true need for something, and we have the ability to foster that need and to help it out, then we are to give to that need and to do so generously, and to do so as much as we can. Then that doesn't mean, you know, that we should give everything and then, you know, say, oh, okay, well, I just gave him everything so that I'm okay. That can be foolishness, but in as much as we can, and same thing as we talk about with the offering, we're to give as we've been prospered. And that the same idea can apply here with, you know, giving, contributing to the needs of others. You know, if we see a need, then we should meet it. And we think about the Samaritan, how he gave as he did. And I know Tim brought that up in a prior sermon and outlined that. That, you know, the Samaritan gave what he could, and made sure that that man who was beaten on the side of the road was okay. And that is something that we should do. You know, there's some times where in the past I've heard of people, you know, stopping and, you know, seeing someone on the side of the road, and, you know, it's dangerous these days to stop and do so, but sometimes we do it and, you know, it comes out okay. I know one in particular instance where an individual stopped on the side of the road and saw the guy pushing the car off the ramp and helped him push it off, and then asked him if he needed a ride. And I lived out in out by Charleroi, I think it was, and took him home. You know, no big deal, no problem. Well, he was given $100 out of the whole thing, and it didn't expect anything. Didn't, you know, and even rejected it a few times. The guy said, you know, he would be upset with him if he didn't. So he ended up giving it. He ended up taking it, and you know, those kinds of things. We shouldn't expect anything out of it. But as much as we can, as often as we can, as safely as we can, we should give as we can. It doesn't have to be money. Contributing doesn't always mean money. I mean, you know, we are to give offering as we've been prospered to the work of the church so it can continue. But out in the world, you know, if we give as we've been prospered and we can't give much more because we don't have much, then a simple, you know, card or phone call to those who are shut in, or if you're at work and you see somebody struggling with something and you know how to fix it, or you know how to help them along, then do it. You know, I speak to myself too when I say these things. You know, as much as we can. And you know, there's so many. I know that I have a lot of opportunities, some of which I pass up just because I'm unsure of the situation. But you know, I know every one of us probably has situations in life where we can become a role model to not only the person that we're helping, but the people around us who see us. And I understand we're not supposed to do anything for everyone to see us, but it's the heart of it. You know, if you're not doing something for everyone to see, but someone sees you and knows what you're doing and goes and does something good because of it, you've acted as a role model. You may never know it. You may never even know it, but you've acted as a role model. And in talking with people that about role modeling, not necessarily when I was making this, but just in time past, I talked to an individual who was trying to get me to go to a bar, and I said, you know, I don't know if it's a good idea. You know, it's not, I don't really think I should, because, you know, I know that my friend doesn't necessarily look up to me, but I think as far as I know, I'm his only example of what a Christian should be. And you know, I know that I shouldn't do that. I know that I shouldn't go to a bar because it's not something, not where somewhere a Christian should be. It you know, it just doesn't look good. And you know, people sometimes say, well, looks aren't everything, and I understand that too. But that may cause someone else to stumble and someone else to fall, in which case we're just as much in trouble as the person who stumbled and fell. And we have to think about that and realize that those who see us, who know, or even who find out where we go to church and what we believe, and we do something like that, we're not being a good role model. Even though we're not trying to be. And there's some people in the world who don't want to be role models. I've talked to some people in their 30s, in their 50s, one person individually, not a whole bunch of people, one person individually who's in the 50s who doesn't want to be a role model. Refuses to be a role model. I don't want to be a role model. Well, and I told him, whether you want to or not, you are. To someone, somewhere, somebody looks up to you. And I thought about, you know, and even there was a camp that I went to when I was younger, and this kid was in his late 20s, probably early 30s, and I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I still remember, he was just a counselor there, but I still remember some of the skits that he put on and how funny he was, and how they would carry him off stage because they, you know, it was part of the skit to be funny and to carry him off stage and stuff, and I got a chance to meet him, and he was a nice guy from what I remember. And that stuck with me. I was 9 years old. And I don't know his name. I don't even know if I'd know him if I saw him. But it stuck with me. And his behavior stuck with me. And I remember looking at him and saying, that's the kind of guy I want to be. I want to be somebody who's funny, who makes people laugh like that, and who's just a generally nice guy. You know, I don't know about his religious beliefs. I don't know what he believed or anything, but I know that he was a nice guy, and I know that that's where I wanted to be. You know, even though I don't remember his name or his face, I still remember the idea of him. And people in our lives may not remember our names or our faces or where we come from or what our favorite color is or anything like that, but they may remember who we were. And that's all that matters. I had an individual from college who added me on Facebook who I don't really remember her, but she remembered me and she said, I remember you being, you know, a nice guy. To which I thanked her for, because I don't think everyone feels that way about me when I was in college. But you know, it was still, I'm glad that, you know, I didn't remember her, and she remembered my name, and she didn't really remember much else about me besides the fact that she thought I was a nice guy and the times that she did talk to me. And that means something, you know, that it really does. It means that someone else, other people are watching us, whether we think so or not. And being humble and being diligent in the things that we believe will keep us a good role model. And when we get to heaven, we stay in that judgment seat, which is the end-all be-all for our salvation. You know, of course, none of the stuff that we do on earth is going to save us. Nothing but faith in Jesus Christ and following His commandments is going to save us. But who wants to stand before God and have Him say, remember when you did this? Well, these people were watching you. You know, we look over, all those people were watching me. I didn't know, God. I didn't know that they were watching me. You know, and then how humbling is that to stand before God and say, I didn't know that they were watching me. And God be with us if we don't repent of that, you know, if we don't ask for forgiveness. But so we have to remember through our lives that we are role models, whether we want to, whether we choose to or not. And to the other individual that I was telling you was in his 30s, I talked to him and said, you have nephews? Yeah. Okay. You think they look up to you? Oh, they're with their parents all the time. They don't see me that much. Well, you think they know about you? Well, you think their parents talk about you or when they're around? You know, do you ever see them? Yeah, sure. Okay, well, the time you spend with them, what do? Those things can be lasting. They can be lasting memories, even though it may be an hour. It can be a lasting memory that sticks with them for the rest of their life. And it's a lot of pressure, and it seems, and that's why a lot of people don't want to do it, because it's a lot of pressure. But we have to, you know, those who understand, those who are in a position to be a good role model, need to be. In one way or another, I'm not saying we all need to go out and become big brothers, big sisters, or anything like that, but in as much as we can, we should be. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. And Paul, in the first part of this this verse, he touches upon, you know, staying the course and being diligent. When he says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another and do not be haughty of mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own esteem. And as I mentioned earlier, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And that's the idea here. And that's part of being diligent. And notice the words that Paul uses in these verses. You know, first of all, he uses not lagging behind, but being diligent, fervent in the Spirit, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. You know, he's practicing hospitality. But the main points that I want to talk about there are devoted, persevering, and diligence, and being fervent. Those are all very strong words. And for a very good cause and a very good reason, he uses those words. He wants us, God wants us, Jesus Christ wants us, Paul wants us to be diligent, to be fervent, to be continually pushing towards those things. And diligence wraps that up. The ferventness. The persevering. If we are diligent in the things of God, we will persevere and we will be fervent. And the next point that I want to bring up is being loving. Because we can be humble, we can be diligent, But it doesn't all. We have to remember being loving. Now, being humble goes hand in hand with being loving. I mean, I can't think of too many situations where you couldn't be humble and not be loving toward. Well, I guess you can be humble towards someone and still not love them. But it's really hard to do that without some form of love for them. But this really has to wrap up into love. And part of the reason I say this is because God is love, and the scriptures tell us that. So if God is love, God encompasses all of the things that I've talked about. But in Romans 12, in verse 9 and 10, Paul writes, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving perseverance to one another in honor." Now, I want to, you know, Paul uses very strong words, as I just pointed out, with the fervence and the perseverance and the diligence. But abhorring something is, from what I understand, though I'm sure if I'm wrong, Nathan will correct me at some point, is the pinnacle of hatred. Is to hate with a passion, as I remembered in my 9th grade English class. To abhor something is to hate it with a passion. And if we're to hate with a passion, hypocrisy and evil, that doesn't leave much room for much else. And if we're to be a good role model, that's what we have to do. You know, we have to abhor hypocrisy and evil. And that gives way to another point that the reason why people don't want to be role models. I don't want to be role models, and I was reading some things online about this too, and I read a particular blog site, you know, where anybody can put a blog on. I don't remember the name of it, so I'm not going to mention it, but where an individual was writing down, you know, "I don't want to be a role model because I've done so many bad things in my life, and I'm trying to turn my life around, but, you know, I've done so many bad things that I just don't think I can. I don't think I can be a good role model because somebody can look back in my life and say, you've done this wrong." Well, that's a good excuse. And I can understand why somebody would say that. But as Christians, we know that if we are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and we continue in that, and we are faithful, and we continue in it, and we ask for forgiveness when we need it, and we know that we have it, then we not only have, you know, forgiveness of sins, but we have a congregation of people who can say, no, they repented of that. And as far as we know, they haven't done it again. So we don't have that as an excuse. We don't. We can't say, well, I've done so many bad things in my life that I don't want to be a role model. Okay, have you repented of all of them? Have you been baptized? Yes. Okay, then, you know, then you should be a role model. Because you have the ability to be that. And that's why the world, those who believe in some sort of God, and those who believe that Christians are, you know, they put Christians in a box, whether you're atheist, agnostic, or whatever, they put Christians into a certain category, and that category is to be something other than a human being, sometimes. And we're only human, but the idea is we're to be holy. We're to be holier than thou, and that's not a good word to use, but we're to be something more than just that. So we need to make sure that we understand that we don't need to do that. We need to be a good example no matter what. Now in Colossians 3 in verse 12, Paul talks also about the essence of love when he says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whomsoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgive you, also should you. Beyond all this, putting on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." You see that? Perfect bond of unity. Love. Promotes unity, it sustains unity, it's like the mortar to the brick. That's what it is. And through that love, we have humility, we'll have diligence if we love the Lord God, we will have diligence in what we do. But finally, quickly, to be ready. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, now Paul talks about it And he puts a excuse me. He puts a good emphasis, and he pretty much sums it up as to what we should be in and out of season. When he says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, resort with great patience and instruction." That is what we're to do. And it echoes what Christ said, "Go and preach the gospel unto all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the age." He tells them to go. What are they supposed to do? Preach. And they better be ready. Which the apostles were. But we also are told to be ready. To do all of these things, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, with great patience and instruction. And we can do that through being humble and being diligent in the Word. Because if we're humble and diligent in the Word, and we diligently study the Word, we understand that we have to be loving, we have to be patient, we have to give instruction, and we have to do these things as Christians. So to myself, and to everyone out there, and everyone who's listening to me, if you don't think you're a role model, you're wrong. Because if someone, somewhere, at some point, you are. It may not be every minute of every day, but you are. If you're not a role model, you're an example. And that's just as good as a role model. So we, and I say we because I have to too, so I'm not perfect. We all have to strive to be Christians and to be a good example for those who do not know the Lord. And if there is ones here this evening who do not know, who do not have not put on baptism, and who know that Lord Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, have heard His Word as they have this evening, and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, then come forth, confess Him, and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. If there are ones here who have not been a good role model, have not stood up and been diligent, and maybe not been loving or been humble enough, and have brought a public reproach upon the church and upon themselves, then they're offered this opportunity to come forth and to confess that and to say that they are sorry and to repent of it, so that we don't have to be those ones saying, "I don't want to be rolling out because of all the bad things I've done in my life." Because if we come forth and confess that we are sorry and that we repent, not only for our own salvation, but for the fact that we can still be a role model. So we have no excuse. Whatever the case may be, if you're subject to invitation, please come forth and do so now.